Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you?
I'm good. Good. I'm trying to understand the heat wave we're having here in the middle of February.
I expected some tropical music. I know you like your
Hawaiian
old radio,
music.
You know, but a little Hawaiian music, a little luau music.
I'll look for that.
Yeah, I'm. You know, we laugh all the time about in the show about how. You know, we can't sell people on the fact that they're getting older in Southern California.
No.
Okay?
Not when it's like this, you feel like endless summer.
Yeah, nothing changes, right?
And right.
Especially with you boomer types, right? You're just like, you know, it's endless summer every day. I'm retired now, so I got even more time on my hand.
Right.
This heat isn't helping my business trying to sell people on the fact that they have to prepare for changes.
Nah, okay? Tomorrow, next day,
mañana. Okay. So, anyway, one of the things that we talked about very early on in the show was, or this year actually, I should say, and we covered it when our guest
Greg Rath,
who was Mayor Pro Tem last year, he's on the City Council in Mission Viejo, was the need to be of service. Some people just have sort of a natural calling to find ways of being of service, of helping others that are lesser than. And, you know, I even had a conversation this morning with somebody about, from Family Assisted Ministries down in San Clemente. Somehow in Orange County, we don't equate the fact that people who live in this county actually could be in need.
No. We look outside, it's beautiful, and this is just endless sun and surf and sand and well-to-do people.
Exactly. And I mentioned to her that one of the first shows we had on here, we had a lady who talked about affluent abuse. That, you know, you could be in this very pristine looking visuals, and there could be even abuse behind that white picket fence, and, you know, and inside that latest model BMW or whatever. So we definitely have needs in Orange County, and the lady from FAM, and it ties in what we do here, because, you know, we're talking about people that are down on their luck, people that all of a sudden basically find themselves, like they shared a story where a mom basically gave birth. She came back home from the hospital, and, you know, the guy basically just had took off. And she was going to go back to work, and, you know, had family leave, and she was going to go back to work. And now she's like got two kids in the house, a newborn. There's no support. The guy just up and left. So changes happen in people's lives for multitudes of different reasons. And we have people that are living on the edge of poverty month in, month out. We have people that are returning veterans that are basically, you know, looking to transition into life after service. And
that's certainly a shocking group. We've talked a lot
about that. We've talked about that. Yeah.
People just somehow assume that they've been taken care of by somebody, and too often they're not.
Well, right.
And just drop back into society and figure it out.
Well, and the expectation is when you're inside the military, you're basically, your routine is pretty much regulated. You have a lot of things that are, you know, constants, if you will.
Yeah.
And then you get out and, you know, you've put
all
this money inside everything. And it's like, yeah, I'm going to hang out. A friend of mine will find me a job, whatever. And unfortunately, especially in the recent down economy, those people that should have been taken care of after they gave literally put their lives on the line to give in such a way that is very uncommon for everybody, to basically find themselves in need and not to have the support system in place to take care of them is just
and nobody knows it. We somehow assumed it. Look at the crisis that happened when they uncovered the problems at the VA hospital. Obviously, we wouldn't know that because we don't go to the VA hospital. And until somebody blew the whistle and put it all over the news, people, and when they heard that, they were shocked. Certainly, we have thought through this problem enough. But again, I'm going to get in my soapbox. I don't think we thought what was going to happen if we were at war for 10 years. We hadn't anticipated this many people in need, and we weren't prepared for it.
Well, and we had a gentleman, I'm trying to remember his name now, that came in, it'll come to me, but from I think it was called Armed Force to Workforce. Are you familiar mm-hmm. with those guys? And he came in, and we were talking about how in Southern California, there's such a lot of people that are from Southern California and Orange County that end up in the military.
Right.
And yet, in terms of transitional services, to even find them sort of placement on work or promote the fact that they're coming out of the military with a skill set that is very
hard to
sought after and hard to train within a corporate environment, but actually could be very conducive, that there isn't anybody that's causing that connection to happen to both the business leadership
right.
and as well as the veterans.
Well,
he talked about it over.
And I hadn't thought about this, but let's say you're in your 20s and you go volunteer for a couple of years in the service and you come back. In some sense, you're behind your classmates. They have already got a work history in place, and you can come back and say, look, I ran a artillery battery. And they say, well, that's great. That sounds impressive, but have you sold anything lately? Do you know anything about aluminum siding?
Right.
You know, it doesn't translate easily into a job. So of all the people that we should be, and I guess every group has advocates, but it just seems like the veterans are those that we're always touting and appreciating what they do and asking them to do an awful lot these days, and yet we haven't seemingly thought through the transition well.
Well, and that goes all the way. I mean, the shocking aspect of it is not, it's not like you're trying to basically transition people into jobs that are making, you know, $100,000 a year. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, in some cases, it really comes down to almost as simple as housing, you know, food, basic services, mm-hmm. the ability to actually have maybe like a table and a couple of chairs that you could actually sit on instead of sitting on the floor on a milk crate. I mean, just basic dignities.
Just to get people started again.
Right, and to think that not only is it Orange County, per se, but that we live in a country that has so much abundance and waste.
Well, yeah.
Right?
If only there was an organization that could help collect this and get it to veterans. So, I'd love to talk to these people.
So with that being the softball pitch,
y'all are awesome.
Okay. I would like to introduce my guest today, Penny Lambright, and she is the founder and chairman of the board of Patriots and Paws. And there's two things you guys do, Penny, one of which the name pretty much maybe alludes to. But then there's something that Paul started to talk about. So why don't you introduce yourself and
explain the mission of Patriots?
Well,
and Paws,
no, so. Before that, I want to, and we tell people this, so you know, I kind of try to warn you a little bit before we started.
Oh, how she got it?
But we really like to know the background story. I think that sometimes gets lost in the about section of a website or something. Like, where's the personal?
Well, why don't you tell us what you do, and then tell us how you got into it?
That works too.
Those are easy ones.
Oh, okay.
So
they get harder.
What we do at Patriots and Paws.
We're just going to get you a little closer to the mic.
What we do at Patriots and Paws is we take care of our Patriots first. So we provide for any veteran, active, or reservist. They don't have to be wounded, disabled, a certain rank, or a certain branch. If they are one of the 8% that have served our country or part of the 0.04% that are currently serving our country, mm-hmm. from Fresno South, we provide them practical home furnishings for free.
Wow.
So people and companies donate items that are practical home furnishings to us so that we can give them out. Basically, we are the conduit, the veterans are the lamps, the donors are the wire. We make it work. Without the wire and a conduit,
right.
It won't work.
No,
the lamp, it doesn't
no
work.
Right.
So we are, that's what we do. We facilitate that to happen. And the reason we do that is because my nephew, who is currently deployed on his third deployment, he's in Afghanistan and comes home in April, mm-hmm. he came to me and said, anytime I need anything, you make it happen. And I have a whole unit of our soldiers who need items. And I said, we need to fix that.
Mm-hmm.
So he's based out of Las Vegas. I'm based out of Orange County. And we started here. And our goal is to go nationwide. The pause part is we will unite the same demographics with an animal that is fixed current on their shots and microchipped for free.
Mm-hmm.
And we use a local shelter, WAGS, Westminster Adoption Group,
great.
Who then will provide that animal for free. And so they can go down and work and pick out an animal and have a companion.
And what's the theory of pairing veterans with pets?
We're saving two lives.
Wow.
We're saving veterans' lives, and we're saving our animals' lives. And the reason and the way we're doing that is because so many of our veterans and our active military and our reservists, they need a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
They need something to keep them going every day.
Mm-hmm.
And for some of them, if they have their dog, their companion, and if they do something and they're no longer there to take care of their buddy,
mm-hmm.
who will be there?
Mm-hmm.
Who will take care of their friend?
Mm-hmm.
And for some of those, because our suicide rate is so high, that could be why somebody stops.
Yeah, and it's very interesting because that's something that's more recent, if you will, and yet the connection between the therapeutic nature of having a pet has been around from as early as people would bring in, you know, dogs into hospital for cancer wards for mm-hmm. kids, for example.
I was going to say that. We've had people come in and talk about doing that. My mother did that years ago, take animals into senior citizen centers or
right.
cancer wards or whatnot. And the light on, the way people would light up just when you put a puppy in their lap.
Right.
Or,
I mean, I'll share with you something that happened to a friend of mine just recently, last week. It wasn't relevant to pets, but it talks to the purpose. This friend of mine's mother, actually, who's elderly, basically took a turn for the worse and ended up in the hospital. And there's three girls, three daughters, and one of them had just had a baby like a few months ago. The grandmother had not met, and we live in a social media world, and you know, people posting pictures. So here's pictures of you know, grandma basically in the hospital, looking pretty, you know, bad. Then here comes this little baby, and all of a sudden the pictures of grandma basically holding the baby, and the baby's laughing, and grandma basically just completely like coming back to life. And they discharged the lady out of the hospital within about week and a half, or, you know, from when having that. So I'm not necessarily saying it was because of the baby, but there is a lot of that being responsible for something or having some sort of a routine where you feel, have a purpose. They talk about, you know, purpose-driven life kind of thing. I think it's wonderful that you're helping both on the physical, literally the furniture, but then also sort of on that sort of more holistic approach of having that companionship, having a reason. And you're right. I mean, the suicide rate is unbelievable, actually. It's shocking, the suicide rate that's in the military for people, especially with multiple deployments.
And why is that? Because of the post-traumatic stress and other psychological damages that happen? Or is it just loneliness? Is it not sure what to do next?
Do we even know, Penny? I mean,
guys are frustrated as well. They come back. This war's been going on for 15 years. Some of the guys are on back-to-back deployments. I lost two friends just right before Christmas, 21st of December. They're frustrated. They are still in the military. There's no end in sight. They come home. Things aren't the same. Everything's changed.
Mm-hmm.
For people in the civilian world, things sort of transition along peacefully, and we don't notice. When you're in the military, you're away for six months to a year. You come home, music's changed, fashion's changed, your wife's not the same, your kids don't know you. It's so frustrating. People don't understand you.
Andrew, go ahead and introduce yourself too.
My name's Andrew. I'm the warehouse manager for Patriots and Paws. I started here with, I had to do community service. Due to anger issues coming out of the military, I served 12 and a half years in the Australian Air Force, combat search and rescue. I was badly injured. I had to get out. I really wanted to stay. I wanted to do my 20-year service for my country. I was lucky when I got out. I found a job with veterans,
mm-hmm.
and that really has helped me through. If I'm not around veterans on a daily basis, it can be a frustrating day.
Really?
And talking about...
So you feel most comfortable people who've served? You feel a kinship. You feel they understand me, I understand them.
Yeah, we're talking the same language.
Mm.
They've been through the same thing, whether they're Vietnam veterans, Korea veterans, mm-hmm. World War II veterans. We speak the same language. There's almost a silent language when guys are communicating.
Mm-hmm.
I can walk into a bar and instantly tell you who's a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
The way we walk, the way we talk, the way we dress. And a lot of times guys are just really desperate. They're really sad. They feel like no one understands, no one cares.
Is it any different? You're from Australia. Any different there? Have they thought through this issue at all differently? Because we tend to think of this as just an American problem, but there are countries that are standing beside us all over the world, the Canadians,
the British, the New Zealanders,
right.
The Australians. We've been there as part of the coalition from the start.
Mm-hmm.
We helped secure Baghdad Airport so that the invasion could start.
Yeah,
I was there at the start, and it's kind of frustrating. You come out of the military, and it's hard to communicate with other people. Once I found Patriots and Paws, it was great. It was giving something back to a veteran who has nothing,
mm-hmm.
the look on their face. 99% of the people that come in here are so grateful for anything. And sometimes guys just come in for a chat. They'll just come in for a talk to another veteran. How you going? Good. Same sense of humor. It improves their day.
Well, it's a connection. I mean, I don't even know how to begin to even, you know, comprehend that, but I hear the frustration. I think Paul's question was, is this more of a more common thing that, regardless what country it is, that is common to military?
No, we're still losing 30 guys a month to suicide in Australia.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
it can be a progressive thing. One guy does it, and it
leads
starts
to
almost,
another,
it leads
yeah.
to another, and then guys get frustrated, and the two guys that I just lost, they were my role models when I joined. They were my sergeants, and you look at them as the toughest men you know.
Yeah, the sergeants, right.
If they can't handle it, what hope have I got?
Right.
You know, I was only a corporal. You know, what hope have I got if my sergeant can't hack it?
That's pretty scary.
Is it just getting out, or is it, I guess I'm trying to understand, does this go on in the service as well, or is this
yes.
just when they get out?
Yeah, no, guys are doing it while they're still serving.
And here's my take. We have kind of dumb down our kids,
mm-hmm.
and you give everybody a ribbon for nothing.
Yeah, for participating.
For participating.
Show up.
So we are sending our young men and women who have no backbone, who have no, and not everybody, who
haven't suffered adversity, yeah.
who don't know what disappointment is,
right.
who don't know how to deal emotionally because they've been coddled.
Mm-hmm.
So we're sending
they
them over.
They have dealt with loss. You know,
they have not dealt with a lot of things.
I have one friend of mine, this is unbelievable, but he swears, and if he were here, he would say it. He thinks funerals are horrible, and he's never taken his children to any funeral, including his parents' funeral. He thinks he's got to shield his kids. His kids are in their 20s now, and just refuses to, you know, show them death in any way, shape, or form. And I think that's so common today here. Funerals have disappeared down to almost nothing. You know, they're just a 5-minute ceremony somewhere, if anything. Other than the cartoon violence they're surrounded with, they don't see real.
But here's
they don't see the real
here's
world.
Here's where my frustration is. Right? Okay. I grew up in that part of the world. Actually, I was born in Baghdad.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in Kuwait. You know, there was a war going on between Iraq and Iran for 8 years across the border. You know,
right.
I mean, you know, change and impact of other things happening around you potentially having an impact on where you live. That's the reality we lived in. My mom is half Lebanese. I can tell you stories.
Another one about Lebanon,
right.
Jeez.
Right, but the thing that really actually I find extremely frustrating and to a certain extent disingenuous, to be honest, is that this country went and I mean, we're just focusing on this country, right? But I'm not saying that it's not the same in other places. But, you know, this country went through a very public disdain of veterans after Vietnam.
Oh.
I mean, like, almost to the point of pride, okay? And
they were baby killers. People spit on them when they came
exactly.
back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then, supposedly, we went through this whole learning process. And, you know, when we weren't at war in Iraq when that didn't start, that whole engagement didn't start, you know, there were people going into the military that were doing it almost as a path towards education. And, you know, there were more reservists and things like that. And we had this sort of a sense of that we had learned our lesson,
mm-hmm.
that we had actually gotten better. At actually, you know, honoring and valuing service, and that the fact that it was military service didn't make it any less service than, you know, somebody in a church or a homeless shelter or what have you, right? Basically doing that. And yet, the truth is, It's unbelievable that we still wrap ourselves in the fact that we're out there for military and patriots and stuff like that, and there's so many of them are actually suffering. It blows my mind.
Because it's the same thing with homelessness in this county or other things that we don't want to face. We say we're horrible. I would never support any of that. But don't show it to me today here. It's a beautiful day out. It's sunny. Life is good. I don't want to look at the ugly side of life.
And to be honest, thank God for veterans-focused organizations. I mean, like yours. Yeah. I mean, you know, or, you know, Veterans First, or, you know, there's another one that's up in Long Beach that has housing.
Oh, lots of them.
You know, I mean, thank God for those nonprofits that basically step in and out of either a personal connection and a story or something a little more of an organized, instituted thing, actually step in to do this. But it just blows my mind. Honest to God, it blows my mind that we as a country that has such a sense of awareness, and we every time there's a parade or every time that there's a 4th of July coming on the horizon,
everybody,
you know, we wrap ourselves. Yeah. I live in South County by Camp Pendleton, right? The fact that everybody is a patriot supporter and everybody is a military supporter and all this stuff happens every day around me. And then if I look just past that facade, and you ask, well, how many have actually like had a veteran basically at their home for Thanksgiving, or even like, you know, did more than just
donated
drop off stuff at Goodwill, like actually rolled up your sleeve and worked?
It's easy to put a bumper sticker on your car that says we support our troops,
right?
Or put it in a sign in front of your house or doing whatever. But really, what are you supporting
exactly?
And if you're financially supporting a group that supports and says they support our troops, what are you really supporting?
Right.
Is what you are doing, like you said, how many of them have had somebody into their house? How many of them have said, come over to my house for Thanksgiving, you're a veteran, I want you to come over and I want to celebrate you because I'm thankful I have my freedom.
Yeah.
How many of them are one-on-one directly helping and impacting? We helped 1,006 families last year.
Wow.
How awesome is that?
We are an all-volunteer organization and put in almost 17,000 volunteer hours last year. You want to see what we do? Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays from 10 o'clock to 3 o'clock, come down and see firsthand what do we do. Go to our website, go to our Patriots and Paws, our YouTube channel.
Right.
We take commercials and say, what does this mean to you? What, just before they get ready to leave, before they close the door on their truck, I go, name, rank, and branch, and what does this mean to you? You are seeing their hearts. It's not edited. There's a camera, but there's no lights. There's no script.
It's real.
From your heart, what does this mean to you?
Give us the website. And
yeah,
give us the address since you brought both up.
So our website is Patriots and Paws.
A-N-D.
A-N-D. And it's P-A-W-S, not stop, pause.
Right.
It's like a dog's feet, .org. Patriotsandpaws.org.
And the facility is where?
Our warehouse is currently in the city of Orange, and the warehouse address is 1515 West Collins in Orange, and we just happen to be having an open house
February 25th
from 3:30 to 6:30, and would love for you to stop by for a few minutes and see who we are and what we do.
And what would they see if they show up?
They would see our warehouse. They would see what we do. When I tell you we have a 5,200 square foot warehouse, awesome. When you come and you see what we have, it's different. It's when you see it, you see really what we are doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are times when we cannot walk through the warehouse because we have so much support from the community. But then there are times when there's way too much space in the warehouse because we're helping too many. And helping too many is never a bad thing, ever a bad thing. I would like to help so many that we don't have to have patriots.
No, and there's always more that need help. I mean, that's definitely not a...
For anyone listening, what do you need most?
Yeah,
right,
how can people participate or donate?
Our biggest thing is I need a big building.
Big building, okay.
I need a big building.
Need a bigger warehouse.
Big
we're
developer.
We're at 5,200 square feet of warehouse space. We have such big, lofty goals, but you know what? You have to.
Yeah.
We want a multi-purpose room where we can have our guys come in and hang out and talk. We want them to be able to come in and do some woodworking. We want to have our own kennel to where, you know what, maybe you can't have an animal, but you still love an animal and you want to come down for the day and hang out, or in the evening and hang out and do that. We have people who want to come back and teach basic cooking classes. We have so many things we want to do. We want a single father support group.
Mm-hmm. Single Father Support Group.
Yep.
Of veterans.
Yep.
Veterans, fathers, helping veterans, mm-hmm. fathers raise their kids.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Because as Andrew said, there is their own language when they're talking. And when they need somebody, you know, when they got an 11-year-old beautiful girl who is starting to talk about dating, they need somebody else on their side mm-hmm. to go, okay, really? Mm-hmm. I know your first instinct mm-hmm. is to go get that shotgun, but really, that's not what we're going
to
do.
And it may not be the first thing that comes to people's mind when they think of veterans, but to Andrew's point, you know, when you come back after being deployed, you know, your whole personal life could be completely in disarray. It could be changed at the very least, right? And all of a sudden, your needs in terms of maintaining your personal life, such as, you know, taking care of your kids, not just in terms of putting food on the table, but actually guidance through raising
it's
kids,
relationships.
Relationship building. Those are things that, where's the support group? And we talk about this all the time.
Right.
Women tend to have groups, support groups somewhat that transition with them through life. Guys, we go through this thing where, you know, you got a lot of buddies around you when you're growing up in high school, maybe, and then you go to college. And by the time you turn around and look and you're in their 40s, and it's like, do I have anybody that's within a, you know, more than a phone call away? Like, I can actually knock on their door and go hang out and just kind of like bounce the things up.
Maybe it's
we
a
don't
generality, but I think guys don't talk.
But the military does.
Exactly.
And that's the camaraderie that they
have. That's where I was going.
And that's what we need to have, is a place to where they can come and feel comfortable to be able to do that. And, you know, are they going to sit down and have crumpets and tea or go to Starbucks or do all that?
Crumpets and tea?
You know, probably not.
Paul, you know, if it was Paul would have the crumpets and tea.
But are they, if they have a place that we have one of our dreams is to have a building with a fenced off area.
Yeah.
So great. So let's do barbecues.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's do Friday night movies on the side of the building and letting them come and just be and create their own ways of having their support group and having it acceptable for what is to them. We talked about, you know, some of our guys not being able to come back and get work. Every one of them is employable. What needs to happen is the employers need to look at them differently.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
They need to constantly be looking at them differently. And corporate America, as we all know it, needs to look at it a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. Because when somebody is doing something and they're having a little bit of issues, stressed out, one of the things that we do at Patriots and Pauses with our volunteers, especially with our veterans, it's like, I just need to know what's going on. Mm-hmm. I don't need the details, but if you're having a bad day, mm-hmm. I need to, like, you know what, go for a walk and be okay with it.
Right.
I have veterans who come in every day who have been told they're unemployable, mm-hmm. but if the employer will work with them, they're going to have the best employee. But the manuals of corporate America need to just be tweaked a little bit to work within the way that they have now come back. As Andrew said, they come back and there's a lot of, you know, life has continued.
Mm-hmm.
Life has gone on.
Mm-hmm. You've been gotten off here, and this has been going on and continues without you.
So how do we adjust that? As mm-hmm. a society, we need to be more adjusting to our veterans than our veterans being adjusting to us.
But this is, again, this is the thing that kills me. Like, it's not that we don't know this, okay? We send in...
We just don't want to hear it.
We dispatch in emergency... you know, support staff and personnel and everything, the minute something happens in a school, to transition the children through this sort of catastrophe or near accident or something, or, you know, we do this, okay? We already know this. But where does the disconnect? Where does the disconnect happen when we basically look at 500,000 people that are in need of help in Orange County that are either homeless or of which some are veterans, right? Where do we basically in our minds factor that absolutely I need to send support for the school because something happened like a bomb threat, but then homeless? Not in my backyard am I going to put a shelter.
Not in
my backyard.
We're in Orange County.
Right. But, I mean, what I'm saying is again, it's 500,000 people at the very least that are basically in need.
We're in Orange County. So we don't look at those things. We drive by with blinders on because not
in
my neighborhood.
Isn't that infuriating for you? It's infuriating for me.
It's very infuriating because here we have those that have served our country, given us the freedom, as I like to say, and it's probably not politically correct,
That's okay.
Us the freedom to be stupid.
Yeah. Freedom to be stupid.
Okay. And they're there to protect those rights that we have.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of stupidity. Have I not said that on this show?
Right. I think that was the original
intent. So we expect them to do that because they're the veterans and they chose to go in and serve our country, but we do not give them the respect that they have earned, and we spit on them and we treat them horribly and we put them at the lowest bottom, that we don't take care of them. Why is it that our veterans are having such a difficult time getting the benefits that they have earned by serving our country? The right. Medical, everything else.
Right. So let me ask you one question, because I know you're getting on a rant here. Why isn't the VA handling all this? That's what the VA is there for. The VA is not supposed to just give you medical coverage for life. It's supposed to give you counseling. It's supposed to give you support. I assumed that they would give you transitional help to move into, get back into society. They don't do any of this stuff here? We're paying all this and we're not getting it?
That's a whole different conversation, yeah. And that can't be handled in an hour.
Okay. I mean, is it that they are, but that they're not doing enough? Is it a financial?
Are they don't? They're not empowered to do it.
If you talk to the veterans who go through the VA, what I hear is a lot of those that are helping are civilians, and they don't understand.
Mm, okay.
So it's not staffed with veterans.
They're case managers, they're doctors, not everyone, but they don't understand what their needs are. And they have their therapists and their counselors and all those others that are awesome. I'm a civilian. Andrew's a combat veteran. I'm a therapist. Mm-hmm. I have never seen anything. How am I supposed to help Andrew if I can't understand him?
Mm-hmm. I went to a head shrinker for a year, and I had to stop because he couldn't grasp what I'd gone through, and he was almost needing counseling after I discussed what my problems were.
Oh wow!
He just couldn't get his head around that issue, and I still can't find a counselor to deal with that. The best way for me to deal with it is to discuss it with other veterans, and just back to the homeless issue really quick. When I first came to America in 2011. I was living with my wife down in San Diego in the Gaslamp District, quite an affluent sort of area. We went to a restaurant. I got a really large pizza. My eyes were bigger than my stomach. There was a homeless guy directly in front of where we were eating, and he was a veteran. You could just tell. We sort of exchanged that look. I couldn't eat all my pizza. I took half of it. I asked for a box. They gave me the box. I gave it to him. When I came back into the restaurant, I was asked to leave. I was told that was not appropriate.
Oh, my God. You're like feeding the homeless, and they're going to hang around like pigeons.
You gave a part of your food that you are paying for
to somebody
in
need.
A person of your choice, and the restaurant felt that they're entitled to tell you that that's not appropriate.
Because if you feed the homeless, then
they won't
hang
spend money in their restaurant.
What is this? Like, don't feed the pigeons because they'll basically poop on your head? I mean,
their excuse was that, well, now he's going to hang around.
Yeah.
See, that just drives me, honestly to God, that drives me nuts, okay? I mean, it's literally not in my backyard attitude. And when you tell people, okay, do you want to help people in need or not? 90% of people will tell you yes, 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 yes. The minute you start talking about, well, we're going to zone an area in town, we're not sure where it is, and yes, are you here listening, San Clemente? That is you guys I'm talking about, okay? We're going to zone an area in town in order to be in keeping with the state code, SB2, to basically have some zoning that not the city would build a shelter, but that somebody can possibly build a shelter without getting another friggin' layer of approval required, okay? And what do? You basically make it the most impossible to get somebody to be able to do that. And then when you get sued, you start walking around like, oh, you know, maybe, you know, I don't know why we're being sued. You're being sued because you're not being genuine in taking care of other people that need your help. Whatever the heck happened, sorry, I'm on a box.
Wow.
Whatever the heck happened to being your brother's keeper. Okay? You're living in an affluent situation, and Andrew, I'm sorry, but that story just drives me nuts. I mean, Restaurant San Diego, shame on you. How dare you tell somebody how to spend their money and give food to people?
We had somebody here this morning, actually, and they took the opposite stand here, that there apparently is a, before the San Clemente City Council, a consideration to allow a homeless shelter near Tesoro, or Talega,
yeah,
which is the upscale area.
No, it's
there.
Not. It's the most recent, and it's the, where the houses took the biggest dive during the economy. And if it wasn't for the other side of town that Talega had tried to separate from into a separate MLS, okay, those houses in Talega were the ones which had the most short
short sales
in San Clemente. So I don't know what little chip people have on their shoulder to say, not in my own backyard, but you can put it over there.
That's what they said. He said it, and so why
but
would you put it here?
Everybody's saying that.
Everybody's saying it. So I think that's the
and
norm.
And we as humanity
are allowing it,
and shame on us, because at the end of the day, did you actually put your kids into the military and then they went and served? Whether you agree with the reasons behind the war or not, but they are actually not only served, but are still out there serving. You can't basically fathom or stomach the fact that a veteran could be homeless in your own town, and all you can do is say, I support the military, but
as
then you know
as
what?
As
long as
me.
It doesn't affect me
That's
in
right.
my own backyard.
Yes.
Let's take a break right there, and before we tear down the walls here, but I think it's a valid point, and
pisses
we'll discuss
me off. It's not an FCC here. Pisses me off.
Okay, we'll be right back after this.
If you are like the majority of Americans, you want to continue living in a familiar environment throughout your maturing years. In fact, according to many surveys, 82% of homeowners overwhelmingly prefer to age in place, which means living in their current homes safely, independently, and comfortably, regardless of age or ability level. With over 30 years of combined experience in residential, commercial, hospitality, and destination resorts fields, Your Home for a Lifetime is a company dedicated to empowering you to maintain your quality of life and independence by helping you make your house your home for a lifetime. Do you want to reorganize or remodel your home? Do you want to add a full bathroom and possibly a bedroom on the main floor? Are you looking to make your kitchen more functional? Is an aging parent moving in, or your child is moving out, or even moving back in? Call Your Home for a Lifetime at 949-492-1872 or check them out on the web at yourhomeforalifetime.com and find out how they can help you make your house your home for a lifetime.
We're trying to get everybody back to corralled here again. Here,
okay, so it's...
Well, she had a great idea. There is clearly, I know we've hit a really sore point, and I think that is unfortunately one of the
realities. But it's critical, and you know what? We dismiss this, okay? We dismiss the idea of homeless and taking care of people, okay, in this capacity, because we make it look like every homeless person out there, okay, and I'm gonna leave the mental aspect out of it for a minute, right? But every person out there who's homeless, it's their choice, and they have drug problems. And they are mentally unstable and a danger to children. Okay, now let me explain this. The minute you add the word veteran, the minute you add the word mother and children, the minute you do that, it becomes a harder sell for you to justify by looking yourself in the mirror that you can take a stand against helping these people. The crazy thing about this is we talk about, and Penny was just mentioning, I don't have a problem with having a regional location, right? But it's not a friggin' leper colony. These are people that are part of our communities, and we have to basically take care of them.
So let me ask you a hard question. So your parents have a nice home in San Clemente.
I already answered. Go ahead and ask the question.
What would they say if they wanted to open a sober living home, a homeless shelter, any of the above in their block?
As long as it's regulated, it should be fine. And I was saying what it should be.
But what would they say? Well, your parents are nice people, I'm sure.
But that's enforcement and a regulation, and that is a burden that should fall on some institution, whether it's state or local, to make sure that the services that the people deserve, that is the regulation, that the services that people deserve to get in those situations are ones that they are getting. That is the regulation. The regulation isn't to basically make sure that there's a bed count and everybody's basically a prisoner. I was asked straight out this week, well, then why don't we just put one in your neighborhood? And I said, you know what? I'm okay with that. Now where's your argument?
All right. Well, I'm just, obviously people are concerned and they're misinformed and they're afraid it's going to affect their property value.
Well, they're afraid.
They're afraid.
They are afraid.
But maybe they wouldn't be so afraid. I'm sorry, Penny, but they wouldn't be so afraid if they actually rolled up in sleeves and worked with one of these organizations than just on a friggin', you know, Thanksgiving or Christmas.
It's always easier to demonize the others, those people, them, the ones we fear, whatever they are, based on race, creed, color, homeless situation, whatever it is. But when you actually interact with those people, then you start to see them as less of a group.
When you start looking
people,
at them
yeah.
as
people,
the group that they are, which is the human race,
right?
When you start looking at them as somebody who is living and breathing and who has a heart and a mind, you start looking at them differently. A lot of our homeless veterans who are students are homeless is part of being homeless is you're couch hopping. You're couch hopping from one house to another house, or you're sleeping in your car. We have a lot of our students who are veterans who are sleeping in their cars and considered homeless. It's not because they have a drug and alcohol problem. It's not because they're a mental case. It's because there's not enough funds and not enough affordable housing for them to live in.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that they are the derelicts of our community.
No, I agree.
They are trying to improve themselves, and they are thrown into the same group as those who the society deems as the derelicts.
Right.
And you know what? A lot of our veterans are on the streets because they don't trust. They're in where they're at, and they're alcoholics and all these other things because they don't trust, and they don't trust our government, and they don't trust the agencies out there that are helping them because they're constantly lied to and made promises to
right.
and said, we're going to help you and we're going to do all these things. And all those places, not everybody, but so many of those places are collecting the huge amounts of money that are going to the veterans who are not helping the veterans.
There, if not by the grace of God, go I.
Well, somebody has a question for you, Penny. We've provoked somebody to pick up the phone. I don't know if they're angry or happy or sad or just want to chime in.
Bring them on.
Say hello, caller. Identify yourself.
Hi, my name is Archie Holton.
Okay.
Hi, Archie. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Archie. Welcome for calling in.
Welcome to calling in. Okay, good. So, Penny, first of all, as someone who knows what you do, I want to thank you.
And you're a veteran also. Yes.
Not when I claim, but I gotcha. You know, my father passed away on January 31st.
Sorry to hear that.
Me too. It's tough. And I'm clear probably nothing, you know, helped Patriot and Paws out of it. But I wanted you to know, like, the difference that you make for our veterans, that my family across the country literally put it in all our newspapers that instead of donating to my father's funeral, we wanted them to send money to Patriot and Paul.
How wonderful.
And just
yeah.
so that you know they are. So thank you.
And what does she do? What did she do for you and your family? To tell us what that is. I mean, can you put that into words?
Well, she's an inspiration. That's luckily for me, I've not been in a situation, and my family hasn't been in a situation where we needed to utilize the services of. But she is, for us and those around us, an inspiration. She's love. She's care. She's self-sacrifice. Like, she's an example.
Sounds like it, yeah.
And so the purpose of my call, one, was to go, I do listen, I do love and miss you, and I'm very, very thankful. And my father knew what you do.
Yeah.
And your father was a veteran and a special forces.
Oh, wow,
my father was special forces.
Wow.
My father was in Redcom, Special Forces, Delta, the whole bit. Yes, he was. And my father knew exactly who you were and what you were up to, and we talked about it. And I just wanted to call in. And
did he come down and participate in the program or ever?
He didn't. He actually lived in the mountains of North Carolina. He is convinced that our government is about to go to war with itself.
Okay.
Whole different conversation.
Yeah.
He was not coming out of that mountain for anything, but often we would talk about what Penny was up to, and he literally had sent out emails and spoken to people about if they had opportunity to make a difference that they should donate or call or go by or see what they could do.
Penny mentioned something rather shocking to me, and you seem to support it. And maybe Andrew can chime in too. Are veterans coming back and becoming disillusioned with the country that they served or the government that they fought to protect? It sounds like they're coming back and suddenly saying, questioning the government or questioning, feeling that, I don't know, you said they're coming back and not trusting. They've been promising.
I didn't say that, but I'm actually in agreement with
or
Penny.
Penny said that earlier.
That as a whole. So my father was that there, and there's a lot of them, that we can send them to war to fight, but then they come back and we pretend like it's not our responsibility to take care of them when we said we would.
And that's where the
promise is broken.
It's not a political conversation. But
no. And how do you acclimate people who, once you send somebody into combat and they see what Andrew's alluding to, that was so bad his therapist needed a therapist, when you see that, how do you transition back into just so-called day-to-day living? I mean, it would seem
I actually work with nonprofit organizations. As a matter of fact, I work with UCLA's social enterprise academies, and I just got back from Russia this year. And so here's what I can tell you. There are a lot of answers to that, and none of them actually are covering everything that needs to be covered. Like, one of the things I love about what Penny does is that she's not trying to fix anyone. She creates an opportunity for them, you know, to have the life that they've wanted, and hands them a puppy on the way out and goes, have the life. But part of the issue is you can't fix it.
Well, but
you can't take away what's experienced. What we can do is honor what they've done and create a pathway for them to choose it.
By the way, let's go beyond just a snapshot in history, right? This is nothing new.
No.
Every war that has been raged, every military engagement that has happened, every disaster or human catastrophe that's taken place people have needed help to transition.
A psychological toll is exacted on those who go through
And for us to pretend not to be aware of that, somehow to basically be disingenuous and say we're there to help, but then basically once the cameras are turned off, we're not really doing anything. Okay, it's really pathetic. I mean, if you want to talk about the
why haven't we learned though? I'm a student of military history after World War I. That they didn't understand post traumatic stress. These guys were really shell shocked, and they were sitting in trenches being shelled, you know, for years and years and years, and they just called it shell shock. And they somehow you're just supposed to suck it up and get over it.
Yeah.
World War II, I don't think they talked about it as much because somehow that was a heroic effort and you weren't supposed to talk about any negatives regarding it. But I know my own father had nightmares from his service as a bomber pilot and others. And then we go to Vietnam, and of course we went through that awful period where people just totally rejected anybody who was involved in that. And now we've supposedly come full circle, and we embrace and support, and everybody, veterans are paraded out all the time in political circles and in parades, and everybody supports and everything else. And yet what I'm hearing is that we're still not supporting them enough. We're still not transitioning them back into normal society.
And we're not. And when the parade is over, the parade is over, and that's where it stops. Yeah. And that's where it needs to continue, is to keep going forward. But as Andrew said, veterans working with veterans seems to be the best way for them to help each other out, instead of giving them all kinds of pharmacy issues and letting them block what the issues are.
Right.
We really, really need to work on having support groups for veterans working with veterans to help each other out and have a better sense of their camaraderie to being there for each other. Suicides that are happening is these guys and gals are feeling outside and left alone and nobody's going to understand, and my wife and my kids and my parents and all of that stuff. As civilians, we are never going to understand. They need to have a place where they can be comfortable to be who they are, accepted for what they have done, and loved on anyway, because they served. They did what they were told to do, and they don't know how to deal with that, and they do not have the support. And we fail them every day as a country because we don't provide that.
Don't you think most people would be shocked to learn that?
Most people don't want to know it.
Yeah.
As a veteran,
here's the thing. Look at the political. Like, so I need to drop off because I know this isn't about me, and you can turn me off, so I'm going to speak. You know, it's real that It is, at this point, it's no longer about our veterans. It has now become a political football. That's what's at issue here. Reagan decided, and I'm not doing politics, but Reagan actually...
Yes, closed. You are.
Uh-oh, there we go.
No, I'm not. We closed, under Reagan, the vast majority of our mental health
Absolutely.
Facilities. And that's something that really could have come into play, and we've done nothing to restore any of that system.
But that lowered, that lowered the deficit.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
Let me raise one other
being
issue
a little sarcastic.
That will touch on political issues here. What's the effect of 10 years of war? I mean, you're asking people, or 15 years. I mean, you're asking people not just to go once, but you're all talking about people who have gone. Well, how many times tours did you do, Andrew?
Three tours, but different countries.
So, I mean, this is what I'm hearing. It's tearing the men apart. It's tearing their families apart. And we're really stressing to the point where no human being can handle
Absolutely.
Right?
And I mean, here's something that also that Andrew was mentioning, that, you know, he had a hard time finding somebody that he could even relate to that could help him deal with the emotional, psychological impact of what he went through and maybe provide him some kind of guidance of how to attempt to transition into, and I use the word, you know, loosely, normal life.
Right.
But do we even have a conscientious program to redirect some of these veterans that are coming that may have an interest of being of service, to actually fill that void, to actually provide them with access to education to where they can be certified, trained to be counselors to their brothers that are coming out of the service, to provide that needed service? I mean, you talk about GI Bill, you talk about all this stuff. Okay, is there a conscious effort that is addressing the problem as it is versus what we want to pretend it is, which is everybody comes back and we give them a parade and then off they go and they live a nice little life somewhere, you know, Hollywood style, instead of actually ending up homeless on the streets of Orange County?
I'm not a qualified counselor.
They have bunker.
All right, let's let Andrew speak here for a moment.
I'm not a qualified counselor, but at least once a month we have to sit down in the office with a veteran and talk that veteran down. And it, a one-on-one as another veteran, it is so hard because I'm feeling the same pain and I'm going through the exact same thing that they're going through. And we just need some support. I'm sixth-generation military. My son wants to be the seventh generation. Looking back at Christmas dinners as a family, I always had crazy uncles. They were the ones. I had an uncle that was a prisoner of war. He used to take bread rolls off the table at Christmas dinner and like squirrel them away. He was just a crazy uncle. When I came back from Iraq, I could relate perfectly to him.
Wasn't so crazy anymore.
No, he was just a normal guy to me, and and I can now relate to the reason my father died so young, and all the trauma that the guys are coming back. You see guys, they're almost screaming at brick walls. They are so frustrated. On the 27th of December, I found myself in the storm drain, in the middle of the rain, screaming at a bridge. I was so frustrated and so angry and depressed. And then trying to go back and relate that to my wife. She's saying, why are you late home? Why are you wet? Why are you, you know, why are you the way you are? And trying to relate that I've lost my brothers in arms. And they were people that I'd spent months and months being with. Mm-hmm. When I came back, I'd only be back 18 months. My best buddy got diagnosed with bowel cancer. Just got married. She left him. I was with him till the end. In Iraq, we were no more than 3 feet away from each other for nearly seven months. And I knew every detail about him. I knew his likes, his dislikes, the good and the bad. And then having to go to his funeral and sit beside his grandfather, who was so devastated he couldn't even put his tie on. Mm-hmm. And no grandfather or father should have to bury their son at the age of, 26?
Wow.
Dying of bowel cancer.
Wow.
Okay. We're going to let you go, caller, because we've got some other people trying to call in.
Thank you for calling in.
Thanks, Archie.
You know, again, this is one of my favorite things to talk about, and I guess this is not politically correct either, but maybe if we had military, or if we had leaders who'd actually been in the military, we have a civilian leadership in this country that does not has never served, and these are the people that seem to want to take us into more wars constantly. And if they could hear these stories, they might think twice before entering into some further adventures. In my mind, here we got one more caller here, okay, and then we got to get going here. Say hi, caller. We want to get you on the air before we go here.
My name is Michael.
Hi, Michael. Welcome to the show.
All right.
What have you got to add to our conversation here today, or what would you like to ask?
I'm a United States Marine, and I just want to say thank you to Penny for what she's doing for the vets.
Simplify, brother.
All right. Thank you. Have you taken advantage of her services? Have you been there and used any of what she offers?
Well, yes, sir, I have. Me and a major in the Marine Corps down here at the VA hospital, we go down there and get furniture for all kinds of different vets when they get their HUD batch housing.
Mm-hmm.
And how many we've done, Major?
31
of them. We've went down there and got furniture for 31 vets in their homes.
Wow. And what's the reaction when you walk in with this furniture? What do they say, or how do they
act? It gives me goosebumps because there's some nice stuff down there. I mean, it's incredible what she gets.
When you got to realize Michael's not a little guy. We call him Little Mike, but he's big guy. So when he says he gets goosebumps, that's a big task.
That's a big deal.
Yes, it is. And I think I'm so proud of her. I can't believe what she's doing.
How are there other groups like this, or are you alone in the county doing this? Are there others?
Well, there's other groups, but Penny's not like Penny's.
Not like Penny's.
Penny's group, Penny's warehouse is off the hooks.
And how did you find out about Penny? How did you get through a friend or through a buddy or comrade?
I went down there and helped. I went down there to help the major when he was picking up furniture for a bet, and that's when I met Penny.
He dragged you along, and now you're hooked.
Yes, I am, and I volunteer down there every now and then too. I think Penny's awesome.
How big is the extended family that you draw upon? I don't even know how many veterans are in the county here.
Oh, the extended family is 4,000.
Wow, that many.
How can people? I know we're coming up to the wire here. How can people be involved, Penny?
Me come back.
I plan on it, especially as exciting as this show is.
Yeah.
We volunteers are huge. That is what 17,000 hours last year. We couldn't have done helping the 1,006 families without all of our volunteers.
Yeah.
We do not have a shortage of veterans we need to help. We have books of veterans that are waiting to get help. One of the things is they don't have a way to come to us to pick stuff up. And people like Mike and the major uses his pickup truck. Mm-hmm. And he's helped 31 families come down and get their stuff and take it to them.
He wants to pipe in and say one last comment.
Go ahead, Mike.
We'll give you last word.
The major does it on his own gas, too.
Absolutely.
And one last thing I want to say is I'm a United States Marine, and two Marines came in the other day, and when they got their furniture, they were so stoked and happy. I mean, I almost cried over it, and thank God I didn't.
Well, and to your point, Mike, and I had heard this before, but you know, Penny, tell people. I mean, the stuff that you have in there is good stuff.
We got to let you guys go and free up the line here. So thanks for calling.
Thanks, Mike.
Major. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Mike. The community gives to us.
Yeah.
We like Goodwill Salvation Army.
Yeah.
We want stuff that is decent.
Yeah, you don't want
because
junk.
Because
veterans
deserve it.
Exactly.
They deserve it. So as much as we appreciate picking up the things that we do, there are times when we have to say no.
Mm-hmm.
It's not often,
mm-hmm.
but there are times. And because it's molded, mildew, broken, whatever, just because something has a scratch in it, a solid wood piece of furniture mm-hmm. with a scratch in it is not a big deal.
Right.
Because when we get our bigger building, when we have our multi-purpose room, we have veterans who can refinish mm-hmm. and can do that. And that's one of the things that Andrew does. But some of them take them home and they will fix them and bring them back.
Right.
Because they want something to do. They want a purpose.
I got to cut you off here. Andrew, you get the last word here.
Word.
What would you like to say to? I think you told a very moving story here. Is there anything you'd like to add about, or give us the website, or invite people to come down, or whatever?
I'd just like to thank Penny on the air. I've never seen a non-veteran put so much time, effort, blood, sweat, and tears into helping veterans.
That seems to be the common story here today.
I think that's a wonderful place to end the show. Thank you both for being here. Really appreciate you being here. And yes, Penny, we will have you back.
Awesome.
Give us the website again and the phone number and all that.
PatriotsAndPaws.
Okay.
.org. 714-323-7229.
Okay.
Facebook, LinkedIn, website, open house the 25th from 3:30 to 6:30.
Make sure to go and check it out. It's
really good. See us anytime, actually.
Come
We're there
down.
6 days a week.
And Rod, how do they reach you?
The Rad Life on Facebook. You can always email me, Rod, R-A-A-D, period, Gantos, G-H-A-N-T-O-U-S, at gmail.com. And or I'm not going to give my phone, actually.
Don't
not after the show, no.
No, not this.
Right. Not for any other reason, but people who need to get hold of me can find me relatively
there
easily online.
Thank you all for coming down and sharing this. I wish we had 4 hours to talk about this and get everybody on who wanted to speak
and thank
here
you
today.
Thank you both for your service, seriously.
Thank you.
You have been listening to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only OCTalkRadio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.